Well, do you notice something different if you look around in here today? Anybody? Yeah, kids! Aren't you guys excited? And Nika says, no, I've heard you before. You're kind of boring. This is our fifth Sunday of the month, so we have the kids in. It's an opportunity for a little break for the teachers, as well as it gives the kids an opportunity to be with their families in church, kind of see what the adults do. But I think the biggest thing is it helps them to appreciate what they have. So next week, they're going to be extremely excited to be able to go back upstairs. So kids, I am going to ask you some questions during the sermon, but at the same time, it'll be pretty normal service. But we're just excited about what God wants to do. He just wants to speak into us today. But before that, guess what the month of November actually stands for? Harvest, time of, there you go, thankfulness, Thanksgiving. So we're going to do a series. Would you guys pop that up for me? And in the series, we have an opportunity to do a 30-day challenge together. So the series is going to be about gratitude. So we're going to take, let's see, next week is Pastor Appreciation. So from the 12th on, which the 12th is going to be exciting. It's our harvest dinner afterwards. So we'll have the tables all out. We'll have a service. And then we get to hang out together and just partake of the food that you guys brought. So please do a good job of cooking. We'd appreciate that. But we're going to start just gratitude. Who has ever taken the time to take a look at your life and think, what am I thankful for? What am I grateful for? What is going on that is good? Is anyone a little bit like me in the fact that you're always working on what could be better? And so sometimes you focus on what isn't good and how you can make it better. And that's hard if you don't always control it. But how often do we just say, man, this is just, God, thank you. On a daily basis, I have this. Without even realizing it. How many things are just in our life that God said, man, here you go. And we kind of fail to recognize that. And when we have gratitude, I'm telling you, there is just a hope that does amazing things in you. And when amazing things are going on in here, guess what comes out? It's the attitude of a grateful person who realizes that they have been blessed and they have blessings to give. So we're going to spend a month thinking about this or talking about this. But listen to this. This is our 30-day challenge. And so you can go online. We'll have the link ready. It'll be on our website as well. And you read through this, and it's a devotional, but it's not huge. It's not going to take forever, so don't get like, this is going to be a phenomenal thing where we can do it together. We're in the Word together. We're reading the same thing together. We're coming to church and talking about gratitude together. I think it'll kind of draw us a little bit closer if we walk through this 30-day challenge together. So for 30 days, you have a devotional. I won't read through it, but it talks about your challenge in the 30 days. And I love this. Ask God to show you the many ways He has blessed you. Keep track of what He shows you and express gratitude to Him and on other days and specific praises. So have you ever kept track? I was asking myself, how am I going to do that? So I have a journal and I read. I get up in the mornings and I open up my journal and there's some scriptures I'll try and follow, but I just have pages and that helps me. Just write down. So just take the time as you're going through this challenge. Please do this. If you struggle with how to find it or get online, see me afterwards or see my wife or Pastor Chad or Skylar. We will help you. It's very simplistic. But it's a 30-day challenge we can do together on gratitude, and the whole month we're going to hang out together in the Word talking about realizing what God has done for us. And there's always more to do. But man, let's just be thankful for what we have. Amen? Fantastic. You're with me. That's exciting. All right. So you ready to go? There it is. Found it. I can get started. Oh, the mighty clicker. Look around. Have you ever done that? You ever just, what do you have to do to look around? You have to do something first. Yeah, that's a good, I was thinking, stop. You have to kind of, if you're just doing and oh, you have all these things going on and you have to be here and there, but sometimes to look around, you just have to stop. Anybody people watchers? You look around. And then when you stop and look around, guess what begins to happen? You notice things that you didn't notice when you weren't looking around. Kids, have you ever looked around your rooms? you stop and you're thinking, this is an absolute pigsty. And then what do? There you go, Nick. I thought you were going to say, I go get mom or something like that. But until you stop and look around, there's things that you don't notice. So this is like I would call an off week. We're in between series, but this week has been on my mind for a few weeks as we is just thinking about us as a church and what we're trying to attempt. We're trying to reach out. We're trying to be a part of the community. We want to grow within here at the same time. We want us to grow closer as a family as we do this thing called life together. And so this popped in my head, just this title, look around, seeing the opportunities God has placed all around us. And those opportunities are ways for us to show people Jesus. If that intimidates anyone, maybe you're like, well, I'm not quite there yet. Think about this. You are a creation of God. God made you. He knows you, knows everything about you, knows more about you than you know about yourself. And he has purpose for you. So that voice that tells you what you can't do, God's saying, but I know what you can do because I know I made you and I know you. And you may say, yeah, but since you've made me God, I've made some mistakes. Well, raise your hand if you haven't. We're human. We're going to make those mistakes. God's grace is sufficient for us. So we have to understand that we have the ability through God to do some amazing things. But we need to stop, look around in order to see those opportunities. So what we've been doing as a church as of late, as a rule, just recently, we've had a block party, and that block party was in hopes of just making the community aware that, hey, we're here, we're a church, and we love you. We want to do something for you. We want your kids to have fun. We want you to eat and just enjoy yourself. At the same time, yeah, our hope is that people will come and be a part of the service. That's fantastic. Elizabeth, I won't embarrass you, but God bless you. From the block party, she noticed the church, and she's been here for a couple of weeks. That's amazing. That's what we would love to have continue. But at the same time, guess what else happened in that block party as I was looking around and watching? I saw this family coming together and making it happen. There was a growth happening within this body. And so that is extremely special because when a body of believers moves in one direction, which way do you go? You go in that direction, and it's forward. When you split, guess what you do? Sometimes you don't move at all. Sometimes you go backwards. And so I loved seeing people come out to that block party. I love seeing, you know, numbers and all that, but I also just love seeing the body get together and agree that, hey, we love people because we love Jesus. And so what can we do to just show our community that we are here? And then we just did Trunk or Treat. Over, I'm not sure kids in general, but over 200 people at the Trunk or Treat. And it was funny, this story came to me, but as someone was coming, actually I won't name names, they mentioned, hey, why are we doing like a Trunk or Treat? Because our children's ministry, there's only going to be like 5 kids here. And then you show up and there's like kids busting out of the seams. Well, like I joked with earlier, in church, there is the Holy Spirit and there is power, but there's also a little something called marketing. Marketing is the ability to get something out. For the block party, we tried everything. We had radio. We had 1,000 flyers go out to the 50315 area code. We had flyers put into backpacks at Morris School, which is over 500 kids. And guess what marketing works of all of those? It's Morris. And so we just did that again. So we sent that to Morris. So a lot of the families that were coming, a lot of them were here early, and I'm just walking around, hey, it's so great to have you guys here. I'm just curious, you know, how did you find out about us? And almost all of them was Morris Backpack. So we have a relationship. The widows have been in there. The outreach team has been in there. We've done breakfast. We've done a lot of our ladies work in the food pantry. We have a relationship. Now we're getting a mentoring program that my son's been putting together. We have 3 people ready to go in for mentors, just waiting for the parents to sign off. And then we have more. So we have a relationship into a community in order just to show them Jesus. And I love that, and I want us to do it together. And so this message really is about that. It's looking around at your opportunities, because sometimes people say take the opportunity, which means it's there, you just have to take it. But guess what else has to happen? Sometimes you have to make the opportunity. And so in your lives, there may be things in front of you, people in front of you that just need Jesus and need you to be there. And you might not realize why you're there, but sometimes you have to make that opportunity and you have to look around, see the need, and just go be a blessing to someone because Christ is in you and you have that ability. So here we go. Romans 12:9-10. Now this is interesting because Romans, we just got through talking about looking at verses and making sure you don't take them out of context. Understand the verse. And so in this context, Paul starts out in Romans 12:1, he's actually talking to Christians. And so this passage is interesting in the fact that it goes from really speaking to Christians, we're also speaking to those who are not saved. And how do we react to them? So when he starts off in 12:1, he says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters," who is he talking to? Brothers and sisters, that's a connotation to in Christ. So he's talking to Christians here. But I love how he goes from one to the other to where he's blessed. Hey, this is how we treat each other. Also, this is how you treat others. So you're going to hear, how should we treat each other within the church who have a faith? How should we treat those outside of the church who are struggling and maybe don't have a direction or a faith? Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Has anyone ever pretended? Hey, how you doing? I haven't seen you forever. You know, so great to see. God bless you. We'll see you later. I hate that guy. Anybody? Am I the only one who's ever done that? I mean, you do it right in front of people, but there's something about you that doesn't like the last time you were together, and it's still stuck with you. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Paul's talking to you out of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Really love them. Now listen to this. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. So it's easy to take this out of context. Oh, okay, so we're talking about, yeah, love someone and hate what is wrong. Let me see. Wearing pink and red together, that's wrong. That's just wrong. I hate that. That's not what we're getting at here. We just went from talking about love. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. So the wrong we're talking about is the wrong that screws up the love. The wrong that interrupts the love, that messes it up. So what wrongs, think to yourself, could mess up a relationship of love? What wrong could get in there and separate you from loving others? It won't be the color of clothes you wear. It may be a lack of forgiveness. Because what's the Bible say? Forgive if I have forgiven you. It could be bitterness on something that was done there. See, the things that's going to get in the way and ruin love, it's okay to hate those things. So if you hate something, what do? Does anyone hate, I don't know, kids? You ever had liver? Lily's looking at me like, huh? Why would you eat that? I haven't either, but there's a reason why I haven't had it. You know why? I heard it's horrible. So why would I purpose, who just said it's good? Do you put like hollandaise sauce on it, or what do, Linda? How do you make it? Onions, so it kills the liver taste? Is that how you do it? Yeah, you're not going to sit down to something that you know you're going to hate because you're going to hate it. You're going to bypass it, right? So if someone's handing things out to you. We're once in, Jamaica? And we're eating this stew, and someone pulls out this crawfoot. It was like they cut the whole thing into the crow or whatever chicken it was, and just tossed it in there. And my wife saw that and just stepped away from the bowl. I'm done. She wasn't going in after that because, hey, I hate animal body parts being in stew. Anyone ever eat the fish when the eyes are still there? I can't do it. It messes you up. It's like, could you get the head out of the way, please? And then I can eat the fish. You won't partake of something that you hate. So if God's telling us to love, I mean, he's going beyond. He's saying, really love. That thing that's stopping that love, we need to address that. Does anyone have a problem with somebody? And right now, we're actually talking within the body of believers. That's okay, we're human. But do you have a problem with somebody that you know is in the faith? And that problem is getting in the way of you truly loving them. Because true love means you will support them. You will be there for them. If you have an issue, you will confront with them because you want that relationship to be whole. And so if you have anything right now with anybody in the faith and you're like, you're just bothered, it's not that you or that person necessarily will change, but you need to make it obvious. You confront them. You say, hey, this is bugging me. And the way I'm really loving you is difficult on me. Could we at least talk about this? And I'm telling you, open conversation can do so much because it allows you to get it out. And once you get it out, it doesn't mean that you'll agree, but now you can actually discuss the problem. And God doesn't want anything in the way. He needs that to be gone. So that stuff that we're supposed to hate that gets in the way of love, it's because it's separating a relationship. It's divisive. And we have to be willing as Christians to say, God, I'm going to be obedient to your word. I'm going to confront this. So if you're struggling in that area, do this. Remove the hate and have a conversation and do everything you can in your power to love because it will heal. But it takes effort and it takes desire and it takes obedience to God. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good, love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. That is what God is telling us to do with our relationships within the body. And when that happens, there again, you're tight, you're walking in one direction together, and you get to celebrate things together. You're still different people, we still have different ways of thinking, we still have different ways of acting, but we will have one thing in common. Does anyone want to go to heaven? Boy, I do. Now, a harder question. Does everyone want everyone to go to heaven? Because 2 Peter 3:9 says that God desires that all come to repentance and none perish. So that's the heart of Christ. So even when we have issues really deep down, I pray that you don't wish ill on anyone, although we have our issues, but confront them and give God an opportunity to work through it. As we go on, Romans 12:11-12 says, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. What I think this is playing off of, we just come off of a verse talking about, man, love. Love with everything you have. Love people and hate wrong. So if wrong gets in the way, how hard are you going to work at loving? If you have an excuse because someone has wronged you, how much effort are you going to put into making that right? I once had a person at work. I go to his machine. I'm like, what's wrong? Those are visitors. I work at AE Dairy. I'm bivocational. Been there 31 years, mechanic and a welder. And I basically walk in every day to problems. And so God has really allowed me to be a problem solver even within machinery, not just with people. And so I'm like, well, what's up? You know, this thing's hardly running anything. He goes, oh, it's fine. I'm just ticked off. All right, what are you ticked off about? Well, the guy before me ran like 3 boxes. Now, in a shift, you can run about 80 boxes. Well, 30 boxes. So 30 isn't very good considered 80. So I'm like, well, so the machine's fine. Well, I'm not running more than 30 because he didn't. Does that make any sense? If someone does something that you hate and you do what they do, doesn't that mean you kind of hate your actions? Is that just... And so what can happen is laziness came over this person because he had something against someone else. So he wasn't going to work hard because they didn't. When other people's actions control us, I'm telling you, we're out of the will of God. So God's saying, even when you're in a situation and love is difficult, I want you to remove the obstacle that's in the way, and I want you to work hard. Don't use excuses. Don't give up. Because I can work through you. I can work this out. But you need to keep going. So never be lazy. Work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. I have something to share to you, or I don't even know the answer yet. Are you ready? For 6 months, we've been looking for worship leaders. 6 months. That's 6 months of me calling people like Justin and begging, throwing money at him. $100 bills. No, he's like, wait a second, I didn't, where's my hundred? But just trying to make sure that we can just keep in the semblance of worship, and God's blessed us on a weekly basis in 6 months. But that whole time, God, bring somebody and bring the right person. And may they love the church and may they love people, but may they love you more than that. May they be a trainer. May they just pull us into worship. Dear God, bring them. And as time goes on, I'm like, your prayer changes a little bit. Okay, God, they don't have to love us a lot. Just bring someone who knows how to sing and play the guitar. Another month it goes, okay, God, they don't have to play the guitar. Just maybe a decent voice. I mean, so you begin to weaken over time. And last week, I get two contacts in 1 week. Two contacts from two people that are interested in 1 week. And we're talking in to both of those. I'm thinking, one of those, please God, just one. Patience. God has timing that we don't always understand. And when you get impatient, sometimes just that ability to love and believe, and it gets heavy on you. But just waiting on God. So week after week, we just kept praying, just kept inviting worship leaders. God was providing. And now, in a couple weeks, you'll be able to hear Juan. No one's hired, but we just want to try them out, and we've had a meeting with Juan on the phone and then one person in person, and just understanding their hearts. We want it to be right, but I'm telling you, patience. God will answer your prayer. But when things start going a little bit rough, that bitterness and stuff kind of gets in. It's not going the way that you want. Our reaction, if we can't wait on God, it's going to be ugly. And then we'll try to do things ourselves, and it just gets out of hand. So be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. I love people, and I love hospitable people. And I keep naming names without getting permission, but I'm going to do it again. Galen, sitting in the back, I love this guy. Only been coming here a few months, and he's got a story he's going to tell you someday, if he hasn't already, but God's done some amazing things through him. He's getting ready for a surgery. He says, I'm going to be, pinned up for a while. Man, I might need some help. So I call two of the greatest people I've ever met in my life. Most humble, hospitable. I call the Gracies. See, Cheyenne's just pointing over. I bet it was them. I just bet it was, because that's just who they are. And I say, hey, Kev, Galen's... he's going to go through this. He just needs someone, man, if you just check on him. Every now and then, make sure that, he's up, he's not slobbering and laying on the floor, all these good things are happening. He can move around, he needs some help, and instantly, without even a thought, you bet. So that's just that's hospitality. That is the heart of Christ. That is someone who thinks out of themselves and just loves. Exactly what we're saying here. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them, always be eager, and practice hospitality. He didn't even do the thing I get in trouble for. I'll say yes, and then I talk to my wife about my calendar, and I've just said yes to 4 things on the same day at the same time. But that's eagerness. Maybe you got in trouble later if you guys are going somewhere, but you're okay. Never okay. But what a beautiful heart that is that God asks us to have. Bless those. See, now we're shifting a bit. So we've been talking about people within the church. Now, persecution, not that we can't persecute each other, it's an ugly thing when we do, but persecution, when we talk about it in the Bible of the prophets, they had people outside of the faith coming against them, just making life hard. It says, bless those who persecute you. That's come against you. That's make life hard on you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. That is a complete flip around from what the world will teach us. But the Bible is saying, guys, something's wrong there. That hate that I told you guys to get rid of, that good I'm telling you to do, they're lacking that for whatever reason. Something is going on. pray for them. Find out what's going on. I'm telling you guys, my marketplace role at the dairy has been the greatest field just to practice this. People who are just aggravated, or maybe they seem arrogant, or maybe they just seem untouchable, or that, and you take a little bit of their heat, but you just care for them. You ask about the family. You don't try to stay away from them. You actually find ways to get there, and you just care and you pray for them. And I've had so many relationships that are close now of me wanting to be with this person, them desire to be around me simply because I prayed and I cared, and the power of God took care of that relationship. This person was hurting. They needed someone to care. Their pain was just allowing them to act out. So God says, man, when you're being persecuted, don't try to get away. Don't badmouth. Don't go gossip. Don't get a whole bunch of people to agree with you that this person's a complete jerk and idiot and they have a problem. They do have problems. They are a child of God and need to be released from that hatred. And so they need to see the love of Christ through us. So pray for the people that are persecuting you, that are making life hard for you. Because it's amazing, but it happened to me in junior high school. They may become one of your very best friends. But you have to believe that God can do that, that he has the power to work into a life and bring them out of what they're in. It is possible. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Anyone ever go through something horrible? You need people. Sometimes as people will say to me, Matt, what do you do when you go into this situation as a pastor and someone just died, which I've been in a lot, and I say, you know, mostly what I do, you think, oh, this great wisdom, or what they ask me is, what do you say? And usually I said, I just go there and I sit down and I just start listening. They need to talk about what they're going through. And you just listen. And you can just almost watch sometimes just lift their pain because they just need to get this out. It's not always about what you can say, but just be with them. And when someone's happy, rejoice with them. I'll tell you, a struggle is that when someone's life's going really well and yours is not. Is it hard to rejoice for someone else when your life is struggling? And it's a human thing to struggle. But you ever heard, I might get shot down for saying this, fake it till you make it? Rejoice with them knowing that you should be happy for them. And say the things that you know you should be. Say, you know, this is fantastic. Praise God for that raise that you got. And say, well, that's no fair. I've been there for 30 years. I don't got a stinking raise. You ever want to kill someone's joy? Reap your havoc on top of their joy. That's a bad thing. Be happy for people because God's doing something in them. They've been blessed. Rejoice for them. Let them know that, man, this is a true friend. They're crying with me when I cry, but they're happy for me when I'm happy. What an amazing friendship. How would you like to have a whole bunch of those in your life? Praise God. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think that you know it all. Now, this ordinary people threw me a little bit because I thought, okay, ordinary. Is Paul going out of the box and saying ordinary as in like non-Christian? Or what's he mean with ordinary? And all my studies really pointed to, and this could go a lot of ways, but it pointed to people that you might see yourself above. So it could be people with less money if you hold yourself to a certain level. It could be people with less intelligence, less wisdom. But basically, you walk up to this person and just within your inner nature, you think, hey, I have more or I am more. And so those ordinary people, never lift yourself above. Do everything in your power to love equally. Maybe sometimes we'll give certain group of people more of our time and listening, but so-and-so calls, I won't even answer that phone. They're just ordinary. And so we get stuck a little bit and actually judging people even sometimes without realizing it. So don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. Because you might be thinking, oh, I know what he's going to say next because you can bless them. I'm telling you right now, they will bless you. Sometimes it's this beautiful simplicity God uses for someone to help me see something very, very clearly and straight. And don't think that you know it all. Anyone there? Every time I think I know it all, God makes a complete fool out of me. So I've become more and more humble over my years, I guarantee you. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Now, grab a hold of this. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. So if we back up, God was telling us to love and to hate that which when we'll separate to love. So now, this is really piggybacking off of that. When something happens to us, if we do what the verse says, what do we do to those who persecute us? Bless them. Pray for them, God says. Bless them, pray for them. And so if something evil happens to us, what are we supposed to do? Let's pray for these people. Let's pour blessings on their life. Do things in such a way that everyone can see that you are honorable, because you don't control them, you control you. But I love this. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. So now we're not just talking the Christian realm anymore. We're into the world where they have different beliefs, and they have, you know, they don't have, a lot of people just don't have the faith to follow or haven't chosen to follow this. And so it's hard for us to hold them accountable to something that they haven't even chosen to follow yet. They have to see that through us. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. Don't let, this is my favorite part of this, don't let evil conquer you. So if we go back and we ignore what God's saying about love, and we're holding something against even our brother and sister, and we're not praying for them, we're allowing this hate and bitterness from keeping that conversation from heaven, and we're having a grudge, we're keeping this division going on, we're not following this. If they're thirsty, give them a drink. If they are hungry, feed them. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. I love that, because that just tells you what can be conquered. Evil. What's evil? It's sin. What sins are we being warned not to do? Some of the things that we named earlier, don't hold a grudge. Don't hold bitterness. Don't be that person who can't forgive, who has to have a reason for treating someone in an ill way. Do good. Love others. We can actually conquer those things that are holding us down, that are making life harder. That evil, it can be conquered by good. There was a little battle in heaven between God and Lucifer, because Lucifer wanted to be God. Who won? God won. Good wins. So giving back evil with evil, or giving back hatred with hatred and bitterness with bitterness, who wins? Nobody wins. Nobody wins. And so all of that is wrapped around this. It's our focus point. The possibilities to genuinely love people are endless if we only look around. So all of this, loving others, praying for those, confronting those who have issues with, and just in talking it out with them, letting them know exactly how we feel and listening to exactly how they feel, and then praying for those who are against us, or praying for our enemies, conquering evil, it all happens when we look around and we see the opportunity. Because if we don't see the opportunity, we have nothing to confront. So I want to pray over us that we just see the opportunity. Are you ready? All right. You can bow your heads. You can look at me. Whatever you want to do. I just want you in an attitude of prayer. I want you to be able right now to talk to God and listen to God. So, Father, right now we come before you. May you open our hearts up to the opportunities. Different people. We have different lives, or in different situations. We live in different neighborhoods. You know all these things. Different anxieties, different personalities, different ways of handling conflict. You know everything about us. So God, right now, show us the possibilities to love people. Show us the people that are in our lives. Right now, if you would just do this for me, church, if you'll just think, who is it that you have a struggle with? Something in you isn't right. This person or people come up in your mind quite often, and it's not creating joy. Father, give us the boldness and the strength to talk it out. give us the boldness and strength to really set ourselves down and be honest with what is really going on here. Is, am I struggling with forgiveness? Am I struggling with bitterness? Am I struggling with hatred? And then may we just, out of an act of kindness and obedience to you, dear God, may we just sit down with these people and say, hey, this is going on, and I just want to work it out. Father, may love win. May good defeat evil. May we conquer those things that could be holding us back simply because we didn't take the time to realize, hey, this isn't necessarily a bad thing. This is an opportunity. So God, help us look around and see the opportunities in order that we can confront them and just allow you to come in. And just one by one, almost just check off this. We have still like 10 things weighing us down, and now it's 8, now it's 7, now it's 6, now it's 3, now it's 4. Oh, now it's 8 again, but now it's 7, now it's 6, now it's 4. Because we are walking through the process that you've taught us through your word. Love, do everything you can just to love people, to get rid of the hate and the bitterness that pulls you apart. Sit down, love on them, confront them, talk with them, dear God. Let's conquer this thing together. So God, I pray that over our church body, our church family. As we go forward, you know what you have for this church. And God, we want people who don't know you. That means that they're going to have to learn about you. I pray, dear God, that they can learn from the teachings, but I pray they can learn just from us. They can learn from walking in and seeing how we treat each other. They can learn and see what love looks like because of this Jesus character, this Jesus fellow. And all of a sudden they realize, hey, I want this. How do I get it? And it's through the power of Jesus Christ, the redemptive power of Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins and he came into our hearts and we have eternity through him. But what's cool about that is we have a life now that serves a purpose. So God, I pray as a church family, we go in the same direction. Help us to right our wrongs. Help us to be on the same page with each other, different personalities and all, and just go forward for you. We pray this in your name, dear God. Power of the Holy Spirit, do your thing in this church. Open up the doors, open up the floodgates. Not so much we can have some numerical explosion. I want an explosion of hearts. I want people who just want to know you. So God, as a church, as a family, may we do that, move in the same direction for you, for your sake, in your name. In your name, amen.